Job chapter 12, verse 11. Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? Now, Job was speaking there. And then over in chapter 34, Elihu quotes Job again. For the ear, in chapter 34, verse 3, for the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. May the Lord bless His word today and give us ears to hear it. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Words are just words, or are they? You know, when we were kids, we were taught the little jingle, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And there's a lot of truth in that, but then that's not necessarily true. Because words have power on various levels. The scripture says that the tongue is set on the fires of hell. The tongue is that which speaks. Nothing wrong with your tongue. That, you know, it's not talking about that this thing that's sticking in your mouth here is set on fires of hell. That's not the tongue it's speaking about. It's saying what the tongue is saying, the words that come out of the tongue. The Lord said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So words are very important. They are not inconsequential. Now, there are inconsequential words. The babbling of a fool is an inconsequential thing. It's a thing that is of no value. Men think in the multitude of words that there is great wisdom, but it's often, more often than in many words, is great ignorance. We were just talking about this morning earlier, about the fact that men like to boast of what they know. Knowledge puffeth up, Paul said. And that is a true thing. I mean, the more that a man thinks he knows, the more he wants you to know that he knows. Because it wouldn't do a man any good whatsoever to know something and just know it and nobody else, he never tell anybody. That wouldn't do him any good, would it? I mean, men don't learn things. Politicians don't come up with policies and ideas just for the fun of it. They do it so they can impress people with what they supposedly know and get people to believe it and to vote for them or to support them or whatever. So words are like food. This is what Job and then Elihu, and reiterating what Job said, for the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Now, I want you to think about that a little bit. As your mouth tastes things, so does your ear taste words. And blessed is the man that is given a good taster to taste good words. It's also a blessing to be able to taste good food, good words, as it is to taste good food. Now, some of us like the taste of food more than others. I've noticed that. Some of us like to eat. Some people, eating is just something they have to do. And other people look forward to eating. And unfortunately, I'm one of those that looks forward to eating. In fact, I think a lot about eating. I like to watch some of these cooking shows on TV because I get to thinking about how good that would taste. Everybody doesn't have a particular taste for food. You can go in a restaurant and you can eat the food that a restaurant serves, and you can tell pretty quick if the cooks and the people who make up the recipes in that restaurant have a taste for food. Because I've been in restaurants where the food was just absolutely delicious, and you know that somebody who prepared that food knew how to prepare food and knew what good food was supposed to taste like. And then I've been in places where you wonder, well, why on earth, whoever convinced them that they could cook? I mean, why did they open a restaurant? I mean, why did they get involved in this? Because the food's not any good. And so it is that as the mouth tasteth meat, the ear trieth words. And when our tastes change with us as we mature. Now, when I was a kid, the thought of eating vegetables was not appealing to me. Now, there were some vegetables that I liked better than others, but be honest with you, it would have suited me fine if there were no vegetables. You know, I wanted donuts and pie and cake and things, you know, that were good. I didn't really want to eat vegetables. But as time went on, amazingly enough, I developed a taste for vegetables. And in reality, even though I would hate to see meat and other things not be available, yet if I had to get right down to it to choose between good vegetables and a good piece of meat, I'd have to say if I had to choose one or the other and couldn't have anything else, I'd rather have the good vegetables. Now, how did that happen? It didn't happen because of just me. It happened because something changed in me. Now, I don't know what that was in that case. I mean, I can't explain that to you exactly, how it could be that a thing would taste, you have no desire to taste it when you were at one point in your life, and then at another point of time in your life, it was a thing that really appealed to you. But I believe that we can see in that a picture of how it is with the gospel. And a man who at one time he has no thought to these things. He's not concerned about tasting. That's like vegetables to him. It's not something, to hear the word of God is not something that appeals to him particularly. I mean, if he's made to do it, he can stomach it, he can get by it. He might want to gag when he's alone, you know. And oftentimes, of course, all kids do this, you know. You give them something, they say, well, you got to eat this. And they bite, they're going to choke, and they're going to die if they eat that. And all of that kind of theatrical stuff. And that's the exact way that we are by nature with the Word of God. We can taste it, but it doesn't appeal to us. And nothing can make it appealing to you. I mean, think about it. What can make something taste good to you? I mean, if something doesn't taste good to you, it doesn't taste good to you, does it? I mean, there are things even now that just, I don't understand how people can eat them. Now, I'm not saying that maybe one day my taste might not change where I could, but at the present time, there are a lot of things that just, the taste of them does not appeal to me at all. It's something that I don't even want to think about eating it. And so it is with the words of the Lord, as the Lord is pleased to change a man's taste so that he hears the words as the mouth tasteth meat. Peter says something over in, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, he's speaking to a specific crowd, is he not? It's impossible that somebody should grow by the sincere milk of the Word if they've not tasted that the Lord is gracious. I mean, if their taste buds have not been developed to enjoy the taste of the gracious goodness of Almighty God, then they cannot grow by the sincere milk of the Word. It can't be a thing they desire. What did he say? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. As newborn babes. Now, a baby's born with a desire for milk, is he not? I mean, he's looking for his mother's breast as soon as he's born. He's ready to be fed. As those newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, you can go to people and you can cajole them. You can twist their arm. You can institute all manner of programs and this, that, and the other to try to get people to delight in the Word of God. You can't do it. You can't make a man enjoy studying the Word of God. You can't do it. But if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, it's a good thing. I can remember in my own life when the Word of God became precious to me, whereas in time past, I mean, I was taught to read the Bible from the time I was just a young child going to Sunday school and learning Bible verses and all of those things, and I would occasionally read the Bible. And of course, we used to have a thing where you had like a kind of like a scorecard that you filled out every week to see how well you did. And one of the things that you would check off was daily Bible reading. Did you get your daily Bible reading? And I remember, as a good little religious boy, I was thinking, well, you know, that's something I need to be able to check off on the card. And so I would, before I would go to bed, you know, I'd pull out the Bible and I'd just read a verse out of it. And then I could say, hey, I read the Bible. You know, the mysterious thing about all that is, you see, God, in His sovereign purpose, He brought all that to be, unbeknownst to me, and it didn't have any more, I had no more desire after that than the man in the moon did. It didn't mean a thing to me. But if you've tasted that the Lord's gracious. See, when there did come a time, and I don't really know exactly when it began or how it started or whatever, but there became a time when I started reading the Scriptures and I wanted to read the Scriptures. And I wanted to find out what was there. And it was a thing that I wanted to know about. And it was something that I hungered after. Now, how did that happen? I don't know. I can't explain it any more than I can explain how it is that the taste buds of the mouth become desirous of certain kinds of food that at one time you had no desire after, except to say that it is the work of God in sovereign grace and mercy to cause a man to taste that the Lord is gracious. The psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "Ye that thirst, come." He said, "If you're hungry, come." He says, "I'm the bread of life." Now, you know, that's a glorious thing. And it is. The gospel is a smorgasbord. The gospel is a grand banquet that is spread forth. Every time somebody stands and preaches the gospel of the everlasting and unchanging grace of Almighty God, every time somebody sets that forth, it's a glorious thing, is it not? It's a sweet thing. To those who tasted that the Lord is gracious. As the mouth tasteth food, so does the ear hear words. The same way. We eat the things that we like. And the ear hears the things that it likes. Now the things that we here are not always the things that we like. Paul said, if the trumpet sound an uncertain sound, how shall the army know to go into battle? Sometimes we hear people preach and they say things that don't fit. Just like, have you ever poured milk on cereal in the morning and you were hungry and you got the milk out, you poured it on the cereal and you got the cereal ready, maybe you cut up a banana or something and put on there and you sat down ready to eat and you got ready and you stuck the spoon in there, took you a big old bite and the milk was sour. You ever had that happen? Not a very pleasant experience at all. In fact, it just, you don't even want to eat any cereal from then on. That kind of messed you up. It's the same way when those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, when they hear an uncertain sound, as the mouth tasteth food, so does the ear hear words. Those things are discordant. When men make a mockery of the grace of God, when they minimize the work that Christ did on Calvary's cross in the absolute purchase of His people, in obtaining eternal redemption for them, that's a discordant taste. It's not a thing that's pleasant. It's a thing that we recoil from. It makes us want to move back from it if we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, as the mouth tasteth food, so does the ear hear words. It tastes them. It tries them. And if it's a good sound, it's a thing that we like. It's a thing that's pleasant to us. It's a thing that we desire. Now, sometimes the Word of God is not pleasant. And we don't really understand how good it was till later. You know, sometimes you eat something and it doesn't necessarily taste the best that it could, but later on you find out what a benefit that eating that particular food is, and then as you stop and think about it, you say, well, you know, it wasn't really all that bad. Maybe I need to eat some more of that. So it is when the Lord chastens us by His Word. And He does that. You know, we go in, we open the cabinet up, ready to eat a donut, and He gives us a bowl of broccoli. And we eat the broccoli, but we can't say we wouldn't have rather had a donut. Isn't that right? Well, when we hear the Word of God and it's something that maybe convicts us of our sin, it's not something we really wanted to hear, but yet we do want to hear it. We're glad to hear it when we try it. I mean, you know, when we taste it, when the Word of God has its full course in us, then we realize, hey, that's what I needed. Even though our initial reaction is, I don't want to hear that. But afterward, you see, afterward it yieldeth its peaceable fruit. No chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous. But it's later that it does its benefit. When David heard Nathan's words, that wasn't pleasant. I mean, it was like he got a dose of quinine, or he bit into a lemon, and his teeth were set on edge. It wasn't a pleasant thing. But then later, you see, after that word had its perfect work, and he was brought to a place of crying out to the Lord, and his ear tried those words, and he said, "Oh God, be merciful to me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I've sinned against you. Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And it was the same David who said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Because you see, this same David who by the word of God was smitten and brought down was also lifted up and encouraged when he heard someone say, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." "I was glad," he said, "because it tasted good. It was a thing that was pleasant. It was a thing that I desired." So may the Lord give us grace that we might be those who taste and see that the Lord is gracious. That we might develop and have a more mature taste. You know, it doesn't take much to satisfy a baby. I mean, a baby is satisfied with milk. The sincere milk of the Word. And we need the milk of the Word. But milk is not all that we need throughout our life. We need strong meat. And strong meat is that which comes as someone matures. A baby can't digest strong meat. But as we get older, we can digest meat and it becomes a thing that gives us strength. And so, if a baby, if we just left a baby or a child to eat the things that was always just the most pleasant thing that appealed to them as a baby, they'd never grow up, would they? But you see, by the grace of God, we're counseled and exhorted to exhort one another, to press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. And we are to become those that have need of strong meat, and it is the strong meat of the Word that builds men into men. It's not the milk, though the milk's a vital thing, and we never outgrow the milk. I mean, I still like milk, but that's not all I want. You see, God gives His people a desire for the deeper truths of the Word of God. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. He said, "Let's go on, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and these things and the basic simplistic things." Now, we never leave the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of Christ. The gospel, in a measure, is so simple that a child can understand it. But that's not all there is to the gospel. You see, there are many truths that are wrapped up in the gospel so that it's an unfathomable thing. It's a thing that a child can eat and be filled, but it's that which those who are well exercised by use down through the years can rejoice in. But they rejoice in it for different reasons and upon a different level. I remember when the Lord was first showing me some of the basic truths of the gospel and the fact of what Christ had done, that I was overjoyed. But while I never have outgrown those things, yet it is the application of those things and how they affect me in my everyday life that I see That's where meat is, you see. It's one thing, as the song said there a moment ago, it's one thing. Some men talk of faith. It's one thing to talk of faith. It's one thing to learn doctrines. Now see, some people think that deep doctrines are the meat of God's Word. That's not the meat of God's Word. Deep doctrines is milk. You see, doctrinal teaching is a very necessary foundational thing. We must have sound doctrine. But dear brethren, if we don't take those sound doctrines by the grace of God and have them applied by the Spirit of God to our hearts so that they affect us in our daily life, then it's no value to have the doctrines, really. Because what good is it if you know the doctrines of the Word of God, but they don't cause you to love your neighbor as yourself? They don't cause you to bear one another's burdens. They don't cause you to esteem one another more highly than yourself in Christ. Where's the value? See, there's the meat. And those things are sometimes not easily digested. Because it's easy to stand up here and talk about a doctrinal truth in some theoretical sense. But when we talk about having the mind of Christ, what do we mean? Is that just some doctrinal truth in which we rejoice? Oh yes, we have the mind of Christ. Or do we recognize that what Paul's saying when he said that ye have the mind of Christ, who when he was equal to God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now, brethren, that's some deep going there. You see, that gets right down where we live, does it not? That's not always pleasant to eat that until afterwards. Oh, when the Lord gives us a little grace to digest some of that, and we can start to see the beauty of it, and it starts to sink in a little bit, that our understanding is opened. And He gives us a desire to be like Christ. Oh, how fleeting that is. We'd rather be like ourselves, wouldn't we? Huh? You know that's true. I mean, I know it's true. I'd a whole lot rather be like myself than I had to be like Christ. But yet, you see, as the ear, as the mouth tasteth meat, so the ear heareth words. And the Lord gives us a taste for that. He gives us a hunger for it. We say, oh Lord, that we might be hidden in Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Dear brethren, that's meat of the Word. Election and limited atonement and particular redemption, I mean, all of these things, those are not the deep doctrines of God. They're foundational truths. They're things we must and we cannot move from. They're the things upon which the foundation of what we believe is built. But the meat of the Word is as that Word becomes the engrafted Word. As that Word works in us. Changes our taste buds around. And causes us to see how little like the one whom we say we desire to be like that we really are. This is a Word that the more you eat, the more you desire. Only God can give a man a taste for that. I pray that He'll give us each one a taste for it. That He'll give us a hunger after the things of God, both the milk and the meat. But as children, when I was a child, I thought as a child, understood as a child, but when I became a man, Paul said, I put away childish things. Now, he didn't mean that he just totally turned his back on them, but what he meant was they were no longer, that was not the only thing that he thought about. The things that he thought about were the things that meant for good. In us, by the grace of God. The Lord says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, many have thought, and salvation is often presented as a one-time deal. You come make your decision, you got in at the straight gate, you're in, don't worry about it, everything's okay. That's not at all what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Dear brethren, the man who's 90 years old, who's called by the grace of God, is still striving to enter in at the straight gate. Even as the youngest of believers is seeking to enter in at the straight gate, so it is that Christ's people are striving to enter in at the straight gate. Now, we have different tastes and we have different abilities, but we're all together brought to a place to taste and see that the Lord is gracious. May He give us ears that hear the Word of God, even as the mouth tastes the meat that we eat.